This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. We are looking today at the first Great Awakening out of which the United States of America was born. We've come to look at this because of something that happened on Prayer Mountain, June 29th, 2008. We were praying about the upcoming election, praying about our nation in the world, Israel in the world, when the Lord said to us, broke in upon our prayers, there is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. He told us about the first Great Awakening. It came to our minds, out of which America was born, and the place of prayer in every awakening. America was born and sustained out of awakenings to God. What is an awakening? I'm going to read you here a definition of it from a book, Ireland's Lost Heritage, by David Carnduff. We're finding out if we can get this book. We know that it is in print, but we don't know if we can get it yet for you to get a copy. But in it, it writes, a case could be made for saying that a revival can be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people. But an awakening is a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. Revivals alter the lives of individuals. Awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture. An awakening touches the whole public at large and affects it. That is exactly what will save America. And that is what caused America to be born in the first place. We've talked yesterday how that God had a purpose for America. He had a purpose in sending Columbus. He had a purpose in sending the Puritans and the Pilgrims. They recognized it. But then there came a time when the colonies drifted, backslid, you might say, and most of them became unchurched. They were so busy with building houses, with moving west, with surviving famines, with surviving the Indians, that they came a little bit cool to God. But God woke them up because he had purpose for this great nation. Now, the Great Awakening, out of which the United States of America was born, of course we read about it in religious books, but I found that it is recognized by universities. I found lectures on it from the Delaware University of Delaware and others. And I went to the Long Meadow Historical Society. This is in Long Meadow, Massachusetts. In fact, Jonathan Edwards, the first person God touched to bring the Great Awakening through, was from their area. And so this is what secular people wrote. I'm reading you this, The Great Awakening and Its Effect on the Society and Religion of the Connecticut River Valley by Megan S. McCormick. The Great Awakening was a religious movement during the 1730s and 1740s. In which itinerant ministers presented powerful messages of salvation, and which provided early Americans with a greater sense of nationality. This religious movement also had a lasting effect upon the manner in which the people in the American colonies viewed themselves, their relationships with each other, and their faith. The Great Awakening and its fire of spiritual enthusiasm leaped out toward the Connecticut Valley and western Massachusetts. While this prairie fire of revival started with several local flames in the brush, one of its most notable points of origin was in the Connecticut River Valley under the leadership of Jonathan Edwards. Then, as the movement grew, it became a conflagration through all the colonies by the extraordinary English traveling evangelist George Whitefield. This secular piece describes what had happened in America. Settlements were growing rapidly, both in number and size. This presented a problem for the church, for it was unable to meet the needs and demands of the colonists as they spread across the land. Because of the problems presented by remoteness and difficulties of communication, those who went to no church at all remained the majority. This religious apathy was a great concern of the established church in the early 18th century. So says Nash. In the beginning of the 1730s, itinerant ministers began to travel throughout the colonies and to preach about God in such places as meeting houses, greens, city streets, and clearings. These traveling preachers provided a diversion from the boredom and rigors of daily life. Now that's the world's take on this. More importantly, in their sermons, they presented a hope for salvation that seemed far more attainable than that which colonists had heard from ordained ministers. These itinerant evangelists were lay ministers, generally untrained. Well, actually, that's not so much the truth, because George Whitfield was an Oxford graduate, and they go on to speak about him and the other things that happened in the Great Awakening. But my point in reading what they say is that it is a fact that is known in even the secular world that the United States of America was born out of this Great Awakening. They point out in this piece, the elite, what had happened in those days, there was a class system. There was the king, there was the gentry, there were the landed people in England. But a common theme, and I'm quoting again from her paper here, a common theme in the sermons of those preachers were equality among religions and among classes. And so the people began to hear that we are all equal under God. They emphasized a conversion experience. They stressed equality in human affairs. Reading again from this piece, the Great Awakening brought about a change of values that affected politics and daily life. It had created within the common man, quote, from Nash's writing again, a new feeling of self-worth. People assumed new responsibilities in religious affairs and became skeptical of dogma and authority. These attitudes were the beginnings of a sense of independence and equality that would set the stage for the American Revolution. And as the spirit of independence was proclaimed in the colonies, by the Declaration of Independence, it was often the local clergy who rose to read to their congregations the words of that document which would spark independence in America and elsewhere. My point in reading this to you is, this is a secular piece from a historical society, not from the writings of a preacher writing about it, but exactly as history records it. Without one doubt, the United States of America was born out of a great awakening. I'm reading to you now from Peter Marshall and David Manuel's book, The Light and the Glory, in which they put forth the premise that God has a call on the United States of America. And they too point out that there had come a quietness, there had come a, since the Pilgrims, since the Puritans, there came this division. There were not roads and infrastructure for all. There was a separation of the colonies. But the lightning struck that brought about the Great Awakening. In their words, they say, as the place for the first bolt to fall, God chose Northampton, Massachusetts, the little town of the most learned and respected theologian which America had yet produced. He was a graduate of Harvard. He knew several languages, Greek, history, Greek, Latin, Hebrew. He knew Hebrew. And he was brilliant, they write, but reserved and dry. He was a Puritan preacher who delivered his sermons in a monotone, with his eyes never straying from the back wall of the church. Now, I've always heard about his message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, but it's amazing to realize that he wrote that sermon out, and God touched it somehow to touch the people. But he was a very dry, dull preacher. Wrote his sermons out, delivered them, read them, staring at the back of the church. However, they do point out that he was a marvelous reporter. He reported exactly what happened. This is Edwards writing. And then it was in the latter part of December that the Spirit of God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. There were very suddenly, one after another, five or six persons who were, to all appearance, savingly converted. And some of them wrought upon in a very remarkable manner. Particularly, I was surprised with the relation of a young woman who had been one of the greatest company keepers in the whole town. I think that means she was loose. When she came to me, Edwards writes, I had never even heard that she had become in any way serious. But by the conversation I then had with her, it appeared to me that what she gave an account of was a glorious work of God's infinite power and sovereign grace, and that God had given her a new heart, truly broken and sanctified. God made it, I suppose, the greatest occasion of awakening to others of anything that had ever come to pass in my town. News of it seemed to spread like a flash of lightning on the hearts of young people all over the town and upon many others. Presently upon this, a great and earnest concern about the great things of religion and the eternal world became universal in all parts of the town, and among persons of all degrees and all ages. The noise of the dry bones waxed louder and louder. Those that were wont to be the vainest and loosest, and those that had been the most disposed to think and speak lightly of vital and experimental religion, were not generally subject to great awakenings. And the work of conversion was carried on in a most astonishing manner, and increased more and more. Souls did, as it were, come by flocks to Jesus Christ. This is the man that coined the word awakening. He writes here, they came to a great awakening. They had been generally dead, and they were generally awakened. The work of God, as it was carried on, and the number of true saints multiplied. Soon it made a glorious alteration in our town, so that in the spring and summer following in the year of 1735, the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It was never so full of love, never so full of joy, as people came to the Lord. He speaks of the glorious services that they had in their churches. He speaks of people who came from abroad, and as they came into town, they came under this divine blessing. And indeed, it did spread out through all of the colonies of the Northeast, of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It did spread, and things, we'll pick this up tomorrow, and we'll talk again about the Great Awakening. We want you to have two books which mention this Great Awakening and tell about it. One of them is a book that we just recently found was in print again, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity by Eddie L. Hyatt, and Revival Fire by Wesley Duell. We'll give you each book for $10 plus shipping. I want to remind you to be with us, if you can, in April 14 through 27 here at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We're going to have a school of eschatology. I'm so excited about this one. We're going deeply into the book of Daniel, tie it into the book of Revelation, and we're going to study in a small group of about 200 people. I mean, you can be there. You can ask questions. We can have a back and forth that we can't have in really large meetings. And these are my favorite things to do, these classroom sessions. We invite you to come. You do have to register. So telephone us to register at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. You can go online, and our radio broadcasts are archived at billybrim.org, billybrim.org. Shalom!